Chapter 1. Warnings Against Sensational Teachings and Emotional Religion.
Introduction. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is brought to view in prophecy in the setting of conflict, for Satan, the dragon, wages relentless war against those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. The great adversary knows that if he is successful in misleading and confusing Seventh-day Adventists, he frustrates the purposes of God. His attacks are usually of an insidious character and often of a nature tending to lead sincere men and women to such extremes that they will believe a lie. While remarkably free from fanaticism and extremes, the Advent movement since its early days has faced the threat of fanaticism. One of Mrs. White's first tasks was to go into the field to meet fanaticism with the Word of God. Down through the 70 years of her ministry, she was called upon again and again to meet fanatical or deceptive teachings in one form or another. The many warnings that fanaticism is to be repeated serve to alert the church to its dangers, and the counsels the messenger of the Lord has given concerning various types of fanatical outbreak and emotional religion are of great service now in safeguarding the flock. The instructions included in this section, supplementing like warnings appearing in earlier E.G. White books, for the most part, were drawn together in 1933 in a compilation to meet a critical situation that developed in one local conference. Available in mimeograph form, this material has been much appreciated and has served the church well. The trustees of the Ellen G. White Publications welcome this opportunity to present these important counsels in permanent form. The section closes with various statements dealing with the manifestation of spurious miracle-working power and the relative importance of miracles to the presentation of testing truths. These counsels are of particular value now and will be more essential as we near the earth's closing days when Satan, through one scheme and device after another, will attempt to deceive the very elect, the White Trustees. The danger of speculative ideas. There is a time of trouble coming to the people of God, but we are not to keep that constantly before the people and rein them up to have a time of trouble beforehand. There is to be a shaking among God's people, but this is not the present truth to carry to the churches. It will be the result of refusing the truth presented. The ministers should not feel that they have some wonderful advanced ideas, and unless all receive these, they will be shaken out, and a people will arise to go forward and upward to the victory. Satan's object is accomplished just as surely when men run ahead of Christ and do the work he has never entrusted to their hands as when they remain in the Laodicean state, lukewarm, feeling rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. The two classes are equally stumbling blocks. Some zealous ones, who are aiming and straining every energy for originality, have made a grave mistake in trying to get something startling, wonderful, entrancing before the people, something that they think others do not comprehend, but often they do not themselves know what they are talking about. They speculate upon God's Word, advancing ideas that are not a whit of help to themselves or to the churches. For the time being, they may excite the imagination, but there is a reaction, and these very ideas become a hindrance. Faith is confounded with fancy, and their views may bias the mind in the wrong direction. Let the plain, simple statements of the Word of God be food for the mind. This speculating upon ideas that are not clearly presented there is dangerous business. Undated Manuscript 111. The danger that threatens our churches is that new and strange things will be brought in, things that confuse the minds of the people and give them no strength at the very time when they need most strength in spiritual things. Clear discernment is needed that things new and strange shall not be laid alongside of truth as a part of the burden of the message to be given at this time. The very messages we have been giving to the world are to be made prominent. An Appeal for Canvassers, pages 1 and 2. The Charm of New Theories. Every phase of fanaticism and erroneous theories claiming to be the truth will be brought in among the remnant people of God. These will fill minds with erroneous sentiments which have no part in the truth for this time. Any man who supposes that in the strength of his own devised resolutions, in his intellectual might united with science or supposed knowledge, he can start a work which will conquer the world, will find himself lying among the ruins of his own speculations, and will plainly understand why he is there. From the light given me of the Lord, men will arise speaking perverse things. Yea, already they have been working and speaking things which God has never revealed, bringing sacred truth upon a level with common things. Issues have been and will continue to be made of men's conceited fallacies, not of truth. The devising of men's minds will invent tests that are no tests at all, that when the true test shall be made prominent, it shall be considered on a par with the man-made tests that have been of no value. We may expect that everything will be brought in and mingled with sound doctrine, but by clear spiritual discernment, by the heavenly anointing, we must distinguish the sacred from the common, which is being brought in to confuse faith and sound judgment, and demerit the great, grand, testing truth for this time. Never, never was there a time when the truth suffered more from being misrepresented, belittled, demerited, through the perverse disputings of men than in these last days. Men have brought themselves in with their heterogeneous mass of heresies, which they represent as oracles for the people. The people are charmed with some strange new thing, and are not wise and experienced to discern the character of ideas that men may frame up as something. But to call it something of great consequence and tie it to the oracles of God does not make it truth. Oh, how this rebukes the low standard of piety in the churches. Men who want to present something original will conjure up things new and strange, and without consideration will step forward on these unstable theories that have been woven together as a precious theory and present it as a life and death question. Letter 136A, 1898. The Need for Clear Discernment. As we near the time when principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places will be brought into warfare against the truth, when the deceiving power of Satan will be so great that if it were possible he will deceive the very elect, we must have our discernment sharpened by divine enlightenment, that we may know the Spirit that is of God, that we may not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Human effort must combine with divine power, that we may be able to accomplish the closing work for this time. Christ uses the wind as a symbol of the Spirit of God. As the wind bloweth whither it listeth, and we cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth, so it is with the Spirit of God. We do not know through whom it will be manifested. But I speak not my own words when I say that God's Spirit will pass by those who have had their day of test and opportunity, but who have not distinguished the voice of God or appreciated the movings of His Spirit. Then thousands in the 11th hour will see and acknowledge the truth. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. Amos 9:13. These conversions to truth will be made with rapidity that will surprise the church, and God's name alone will be glorified. Letter 43, 1890. Fanaticism to appear in our midst. Fanaticism will appear in the very midst of us. Deceptions will come, and of such a character that if it were possible they would mislead the very elect. If marked inconsistencies and untruthful utterances were apparent in these manifestations, the words from the lips of the great teacher would not be needed. It is because of the many and varied dangers that would arise that this warning is given. The reason why I hang out the danger signal is that through the enlightenment of the Spirit of God, I can see that which my brethren do not discern. it may not be a positive necessity for me to point out all these peculiar phases of deception that they will need to guard against. It is enough for me to tell you, be on your guard, and as faithful sentinels, keep the flock of God from accepting indiscriminately all that professes to be communicated to them from the Lord. If we work to create an excitement of feeling, we shall have all we want, and more than we can possibly know how to manage. Calmly and clearly, preach the word. We must not regard it as our work to create an excitement. The Holy Spirit of God alone can create a healthy enthusiasm. Let God work, and let the human agent walk softly before Him, watching, waiting, praying, looking unto Jesus every moment, led and controlled by the precious Spirit, which is light and life. Letter 68, 1894. The end is near. The children of light are to work with earnest, persevering zeal to lead others to prepare for the great event before us, that they may be able to resist the enemy because they have allowed the Holy Spirit to work upon their hearts. New and strange things will continually arise to lead God's people into false excitement, religious revivals, and curious developments. Let them keep advancing with their eyes fixed alone upon the light and the life of the world. Know that everything that is called light and truth in the Word of God is light and truth, an emanation from divine wisdom, not an imitation of Satan's subtle arts. The light of God's wisdom will be to every true, steadfast, and contrite soul as a lamp to his feet. Letter 45, 1899. Feeling not to master judgment. With much that is truth, there is mingled error that is accepted in its extreme meaning and acted upon by persons of excitable temperament. Thus, fanaticism will take the place of well-regulated, well-disciplined, heaven-ordained efforts to carry forward the work to its completion. There is danger, not only that unbalanced minds will be led into fanaticism, but that designing persons will take advantage of this excitement to further their own selfish purposes. I have a warning to give to our brethren, that they shall follow their leader and not run ahead of Christ. Let there be no haphazard work in these times. Beware of making strong expressions which will lead unbalanced minds to think that they have a wonderful light from God. The one who bears a message to the people from God must exercise perfect control. He should ever bear in mind that the path of presumption lies close beside the path of faith. Once let impulse and emotion get the mastery over calm judgment, and there may be altogether too much speed, even in traveling a right road. He who travels too fast will find it perilous in more ways than one. It may not be long before he will branch off from the right road into a wrong path. Not once should feelings be allowed to get the mastery over judgment. There is a danger of excess in that which is lawful, and that which is not lawful will surely lead into false paths. If there is not careful, earnest, sensible work, solid as a rock in the advancement of every idea and principle, and in every representation given, souls will be ruined. Letter 6A, 1894. Obedience versus emotion or rapture. There is danger of those in our ranks making a mistake in regard to receiving the Holy Ghost. Many suppose an emotion or a rapture of feeling to be an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is danger that right sentiments will not be understood, and that Christ's words, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, Matthew 28:20, will lose their significance. There is danger that original devisings and superstitious imaginings will take the place of the Scriptures. Tell our people, be not anxious to bring in something not revealed in the Word. Keep close to Christ. Let us remember that the Word Christ has commanded us to preach to all nations, kindred, tongues, and peoples is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. This is God's plan of work. Christ is the mighty power which confirms the Word, bringing men and women through conversion to the truth, to an understanding faith, making them willing to do whatsoever he has commanded them. The human agent, the seen instrument, is to preach the word, and the Lord Jesus, the unseen agency, by his Holy Spirit, is to make the word efficacious and powerful. Letter 105, 1900. A call for old-fashioned sermons. A new order of things has come into the ministry. There is a desire to pattern after other churches, and simplicity and humility are almost unknown. The young ministers seek to be original and to introduce new ideas and new plans for labor. Some open revival meetings and by this means call large numbers into the church. But when the excitement is over, where are the converted ones? Repentance and confession of sin are not seen. The sinner is entreated to believe in Christ and accept him without regard to his past life of sin and rebellion. The heart is not broken. There is no contrition of soul. The supposed converted ones have not fallen upon the rock, Christ Jesus. The Old and New Testament scriptures show us the only way in which this work should be done. Repent, repent, repent was the message rung out by John the Baptist in the wilderness. Christ's message to the people was, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:5. And the apostles were commanded to preach everywhere that men should repent. The Lord desires his servants today to preach the old gospel doctrine, sorrow for sin, repentance, and confession. We want old-fashioned sermons, old-fashioned customs, old-fashioned fathers and mothers in Israel. The sinner must be labored for, perseveringly, earnestly, wisely, until he shall see that he is a transgressor of God's law and shall exercise repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Undated Manuscript 111. Cold formalism or fanaticism. Formality, worldly wisdom, worldly caution, worldly policy will appear to many to be the very power of God. But when accepted, it stands as an obstacle to prevent God's light in warnings, reproof, and counsel from coming to the world. He, Satan, is working with all his insinuating, deceiving power to lead men away from the third angel's message, which is to be proclaimed with mighty power. If Satan sees that the Lord is blessing his people and preparing them to discern his delusions, he will work with his master power to bring in fanaticism on the one hand and cold formalism on the other, that he may gather in a harvest of souls. Now is our time to watch unceasingly. Watch, bar the way to the least step of advance that Satan may make among you. There are dangers to be guarded against on the right hand and on the left. There will be inexperienced ones, newly come to the faith, who need to be strengthened and to have a correct example before them. Some will not make a right use of the doctrine of justification by faith. They will present it in a one-sided manner. Others will seize the ideas that have not been correctly presented and will go clear over the mark, ignoring works altogether. Now, genuine faith always works by love. When you look to Calvary, it is not to quiet your soul in the non-performance of duty, not to compose yourself to sleep, but to create faith in Jesus. Faith that will work, purifying the soul from the slime of selfishness. When we lay hold of Christ by faith, our work has just begun. Every man has corrupt and sinful habits that must be overcome by vigorous warfare. Every soul is required to fight the fight of faith. If one is a follower of Christ, he cannot be sharp in deal. He cannot be hard-hearted, devoid of sympathy. He cannot be coarse in his speech. He cannot be full of pomposity and self-esteem. He cannot be overbearing, nor can he use harsh words and censure and condemn. The labor of love springs from the work of faith. Bible religion means constant work. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. We are to be zealous of good works. Be careful to maintain good works. And the true witness says, I know thy works. Revelation 2:2. While it is true that our busy activities will not in themselves ensure salvation, it is also true that faith which unites us to Christ will stir the soul to activity. Those who have no time to give attention to their own souls, to examine themselves daily whether they be in the love of God, and place themselves in the channel of light, will have time to give to the suggestions of Satan and the working out of his plans. Satan will insinuate himself by little wedges which widen as they make a place for themselves. The specious devices of Satan will be brought into the special work of God at this time. Manuscript 16, 1890. False ideas of God's blessing. Many are questioning and troubled. This is because they have not faith in God. With some, religious exercises mean little more than a good time. When their feelings are aroused, they think they are greatly blessed. Some do not think they are blessed unless they are stirred and excited. The intoxication of excitement is the object they are seeking, and if they do not obtain this, they suppose they are wrong or that someone else is all wrong. People should not be educated to think that religion of an emotional order, bordering on fanaticism, is the only pure religion. Under the influence of such religion, the minister is expected to use all his nervous energy in preaching the gospel. He must pour forth with abundance the strong current of the water of life. He must bring stimulating drafts that will be acceptable to human appetite. There are those who, unless their decaying emotions are stimulated, think they can be careless and inattentive. Letter 89, 1902. All is quiet, calm, unpretending. The enemy is preparing to deceive the whole world by his miracle-working power. He will assume to personate the angels of light, to personate Jesus Christ. Everyone who teaches the truth for this time is to preach the word. Those who cling to the word will not throw open the doors for Satan by making unguarded statements in reference to prophesying or to dreams and visions. To a greater or less degree, false manifestations have been coming in here and there since 1844, after the time when we looked for the second coming of Christ. We shall have them more and more, and like faithful sentinels, we must be on guard. Letters are coming to me from many persons concerning visions which they have had and feel it their duty to relate. May the Lord help his servants to be cautious. When the Lord has a genuine channel of light, there are always plenty of counterfeits. Satan will surely enter any door thrown open for him. He will give messages of truth, mingling with the truth ideas of his own, prepared to mislead souls, to draw the mind to human beings and their sayings, and prevent it from holding firmly to a thus saith the Lord. In God's dealings with his people, all is quiet. With those who trust in him, all is calm and unpretending. There will be simple, true, earnest believers in the Bible, and there will be doers of the word as well as hearers. There will be sound, earnest, sensible waiting upon God. Letter 102, 1894. The example of Christ. Let not anyone be afraid of going to extremes while he is a close student of the word, humbling the soul at every step. Christ must dwell in him by faith. He, their exemplar, was self-possessed. He walked in humility. He had true dignity. He had patience. If we individually possess these traits of character, who accept justification by faith, there will be no extremists. The example of Christ is before us, ever to keep the law and the gospel closely connected. They cannot be separated. Let calmness and self-possession be cultivated and perseveringly maintained, for this was the character of Christ. We hear the vehement expressions of false religionists who make bold pretensions, who talk loud and long, saying, I am holy, I am sinless, when they have not the least foundation for their faith. We hear no noisy protestations of faith, nor do we see tremendous bodily contortions and exercises in the author of all truth. Remember, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. If Christ is abiding in our hearts by faith, we shall, by beholding the manner of his life, seek to be like Jesus, pure, peaceable, and undefiled. We shall reveal Christ in our character. We will not only receive and absorb light, but will also diffuse it. We will have more clear and distinct views of what Jesus is to us. The symmetry, loveliness, and benevolence that were in the life of Jesus Christ will be shining forth in our lives. Manuscript 24, 1890. A desire to change the present order. Instead of living in expectation of some special season of excitement, we are wisely to improve present opportunity, doing that which must be done in order that souls may be saved. Instead of exhausting the powers of our mind in speculations in regard to the times and seasons which the Lord has placed in his own power and withheld from men, we are to yield ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, to do present duties, to give the bread of life, unadulterated with human opinions, to souls who are perishing for the truth. We are in continual danger of getting above the simplicity of the gospel. There is an intense desire on the part of many to startle the world with something original that shall lift the people into a state of spiritual ecstasy and change the present order of experience. There is certainly great need of a change in the present order of experience, for the sacredness of present truth is not realized as it should be, but the change we need is a change of heart and can only be obtained by seeking God individually for his blessing, by pleading with him for his power, by fervently praying that his grace may come upon us and that our characters may be transformed. This is the change we need today, and for the attainment of this experience, we should exercise persevering energy and manifest heartfelt earnestness. The Review and Herald, March 22, 1892. No oddities or eccentricities. Let there be no oddities or eccentricities of movement on the part of those who speak the word of truth, for such things will weaken the impression that should be made by the word. We must be guarded, for Satan is determined, if possible, to intermingle with religious services his evil influence. Let there be no theatrical display, for this will not help to strengthen the belief in the word of God. Rather, it will divert attention to the human instrument. Letter 352, 1908. God's Word to be uncontaminated by fallacies. Amid the confusing cries, Lo, here is Christ, Lo, there is Christ, will be born a special testimony, a special message of truth appropriate for this time, which message is to be received, believed, and acted upon. It is the truth, not fanciful ideas, that is efficacious. The eternal truth of the Word will stand forth free from all seductive errors and spiritualistic interpretations, free from all fancifully drawn, alluring pictures. Falsehoods will be urged upon the attention of God's people, but the truth is to stand clothed in its beautiful, pure garments. The Word, precious in its holy, uplifting influence, is not to be degraded to a level with common, ordinary matters. It is always to remain uncontaminated by the fallacies by which Satan seeks to deceive, if possible, the very elect. The Review and Herald, October 13, 1904. Let God's people act so that the world will see that Seventh-day Adventists are an intelligent, thinking people whose faith is based on a surer foundation than the bedlam of confusion. The people are hungry for the bread of life. Do not offer them a stone. Manuscript 101, 1901.